Certainly have a wonderful creator, faithful creator, and we appreciate his enduring word. Certainly in contrast to our thoughts, his thoughts are higher than ours as the heavens are above the earth. And I was on my heart a little bit here, just a few thoughts on the one that has suffered in the flesh, has done with sin, no longer to live the rest of his time in flesh, man's lusts, but to God's will. Illustration in the Old Testament. You could turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. I want to take up the story of Naaman, but just a few things out of the story. 2 Kings chapter 5, read, beginning with verse 15. Let me start with verse 14. Then he went down and plunged himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh became again like the flesh of a little child. And he was and the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, Behold, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. And now I take a present of thy servant. But Jehovah liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he take it, but he refused. And if not, then there, I pray, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of this earth. For thy servant more offer burnt offering and sacrifice to other gods, but to Jehovah. In this Jehovah pardon when my master goes into the house of Rimmon to bow down that he leans on my hand, and I myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down in the house of Rimmon, Jehovah pardon thy servant, I pray thee, in this thing. And he said, Peace. And he departed a little way. A great man, we read at the beginning of the chapter, and told that by him Jehovah had given deliverance to Syria. I take this from Josephus, the Jewish historian, says that Naaman was the one who shot the arrow that ultimately killed King Ahab. It's simply as Jewish tradition. But Scripture tells that God had used this man to give deliverance to Syria. Naaman's people, and valued by his king. We know the story of the little taken prisoner, slave girl in his household who told her mistress about that was in Israel and who had every confidence that he would cure her master of his leprosy. We know the things that were made along the We know how the king of Israel, our king of Syria, wrote to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel, this was an invitation, an excuse to try to instigate war. And, then he said, let him come now to me as a prophet in Israel. In verse 9, we read that Naaman came with his chariot and stood at the doorway of the house of Elisha. There he came. His thought had come with a vast load of silver and gold and thing. And now he was going to buy healing from the leper. We know is a picture of sin again and again and again. A sin that brings death. Elisha does this leper to this unclean leper. Great is he in this world. This man belonged not in the city at the priest. Leviticus 13 was to go out leper. Elisha sends out a servant with the man to be cured. Elisha is angry. He turns away in a rage with the words, Behold, thought. And has his eye. And God doth work ideas. God is their great creator, yes. God can do all things, but he does not the way man thinks that he ought to do. His servant with him, he goes 7 times. And what a difference it makes in the attitude. His flesh has become again like flesh of a little child. And he returned to the man. He and all. It doesn't say this. Anything about his chariot. He's not trying to impress anyone. He returned his company. He had thought. He said, behold, I thought out to me and call on the name Jehovah, his God. And so he will come. He stand before me. No. Amen. Stands before the prophet now. And he says, behold, know that there is no God in all the Israel. He wants to give a present. He doesn't offer pay this as offering payment. Take a present. But Elisha has the actual discernment to spoil the picture that God gives us in the word by taking payment. Present that would appear to be payment for the bird. He says, if before I stand, I will receive none. Take it. He wanted to do something. You know, when we are saved, we desire born heart to do something to show our gratefulness for that which God has done us. He urged him to take it, but so then Naaman says, not. He can accept this. You know, the born believer can accept God's ways, can accept, may not it immediately, understand it immediately. Naaman accepted, would not take anything in return for the healing. He says, if not, then let there, I pray thee, servant, tomb's burden, earth. I pray thee, please, let me take 2 mule burden of earth home with me. Why? For thy servant will no more offer burnt offering and sacrifice to other gods. But he realized immediately that Jehovah was the truth and be incompatible to her sacrifice and burn to any other god. The idea of the Hebrew about very much in the story of Jonah and in various places in the Old Testament. The idea of the heathen was that every country, every territory, even cities, each had their own god. And the mariners were quite ready to take Jonah on board when he said, I'm running away from my god, because after all, his god was the god in Israel. And he could run away from him when he found out that Jonah's God was the one who made the heaven and the earth. That was another story. But the heathen had their idea that gods were territorial. Naaman is not returning to worship a territorial god in Syria, wanting to Jehovah. I will no longer offer burnt offering and sacrifice to your gods, Jehovah. A new life had begun for him. And God had to know whether Naaman knew anything about this. If they built an altar to him, it was not to be of hewn stone. It was to be of earth, of simply natural field stones. And Naaman, a mule burden of earth, take back with him. And then there is a conscience now. With this, I'm not going to worship God, but he says it's part of my job. Go into the house of Rimmon, the king leans on my arm, and when he bows, I have to bend down to make clear my heart is not in this thing. And he asks pardon already. It's a new. He doesn't want the old way any longer. Yet there's a dilemma. How can I take this new way consistently? We're not told what happened after he got back to his grave. More about men until Luke's gospel, where the Lord mentions him. We read of much conflict on part of the Syrians against Israel. Some desperate struggle. But Nahum is not mentioned in this. I can't help but feel that like this may have been the situation. He comes back and people ask him, General, what happened? Did you get cleansed? Oh, yes. And he can take his uniform or his armor and show, see, my is like that of a little child. Jehovah, God of Israel, was gracious to me. How much did it cost you? What was the doctor bill? One piece of silver, gold. It was absolutely free. Naaman, what are these bags hanging over the side? It looks like earth, like dirt. Oh, some earth back from God. And I'm to build an altar to him because I'm ending to worship any. Now here is a new believer. We might say just barely saved. And yet opens up to him a path that is so different from the one he had taken up. The Spirit of God leads on a new believer and for him as step by step the way. Well, if he indeed gave testimony to what he was going to do with these two mule burden of earth, who Jehovah was, what would have happened to his are worried about holds. I don't do this expected of me, what's going to happen to me. Now, not that thought. He realized that if he was going to worship only Jehovah, it would really be an income to bow of Rimmon. Even if it was not he that was wanting to bow, the king pushing him down. Must have asked him too, Naaman, what happened when you went? We find nothing about bowing down the temple of Rimmon. This time past has been enough to walk in that old pathway. There's a new path up, and I have often marveled at the prophet Elisha. If we had been faced by a Naaman with problem that was before him, we would have given a different answer. No. Oh, no, Naaman can't go into the temple of Rimmon anymore. Well, the Lord knows your heart, sir. And he knows mean to bow down before them. We would have either been horrified at the thought of his going into that temple, or we would have tried to smooth it over. He gave a very wise answer. He said to him, go in peace. We read in Philippians that the Apostle Paul was convinced has begun a good work in you with Christ. You know, it's a wonderful thing, that wise Creator also become our Redeemer, able to guide pathway and deliver us thoughts and old ways. And the Naaman was different. He'd gone off in a huff. He'd been in a comes back in an altogether different. He wants to be taught. He's out his difficulties. He's one who desires, even after Elisha has told him, and we find Elisha and Gehazi running after him. My master was a fool. He could have had so much and could have used it for this, that, and the other thing. Elisha shows that he knows the man's heart after this. Ran after Naaman, asked for quite a bit, and Naaman said, take twice as much, and I'll have my servants carry it. You know, it was a large weight. I've seen various estimates. I think the general now is talent was about weight. I don't mean 70 pounds sterling, 5 pounds of silver. I've seen estimates up to 90, even more than that. So servants to carry all. But Naaman, ready to give. It's a sad thing, Elisha's servant rather, spoils the picture. But leprosy of Naaman had to cleave to him then. It's so beautiful to see the illustrations that God gives us in His Word. A new pathway, and what is involved to the true good. Forsaking all else. The wife says, go and may the Lord help us to help others.